Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Card Nation, the hobby is the people. Weekly news and interviews, it's your number one source. Sports Card Nation, the hobby is the people. Sports Card Nation.
What is up? Episode 221 of said Sports Card Nation podcast. Got a great show in store for you. Before we get to that, little shameless plug, little house cleaning. My friend Danny Black, also my co-host on Card Menches, is launching Hobby News Daily, a hobby website that's going to have writers. I'm going to be one of them. We'll write an article here and there, but there's double-digit writers we're up to. We're adding. He's adding more. It's going to have content connected to it. Some of your favorite podcasts and shows will be can have their content listed there, and people redirected to YouTube pages and podcast streams. If you are a podcaster in the hobby and you want to find out how to get your site there on the site, reach out to myself or Danny Black at Sportsball or at Hobby News Daily. That's the other thing. Please go follow at Hobby News Daily on all the socials. And it's going to be sort of a different site. I know there's existing sites that do a great job, but he's going to come at it with a little bit of a different approach, a little more content, along with like a lot more articles and columns. There's going to be a lot more content driven as well. So if you're interested in writing, if you're interested in having your content listed there, if you're interested in advertising, reach out to those socials that I gave you or myself. I can steer you in the right direction. And excited for him. The soft launch is already underway and when you're listening to this, and the real launch will happen April 1st, opening day of baseball season. So gonna be a little bit different. Check it out, hobbynewsdaily.com. It's actually up and running right now. Go give that site subscribe, go look at it, see all the bells and whistles. All right, got a great guest today, Mr. Ken Carnes of Sports Card Lessons. He's retired now, but a former teacher in that teaching profession. So we share that bond. We also share the bond of both being dealers. We also share the bond of both being in the hobby and doing content creation. We also have another trait that I like of his that I believe I share too is, hey, we're not afraid to go on our respective shows and say, hey, I learned something or I made a mistake, right? And inform everyone else. Not always all W. Anyone in the hobby that's done this long enough knows that. We share those L's on our content. And I appreciate that about this gentleman. So with that being said, I don't want to make you wait for him. So let's get the show started.
It's time to start the show. Let's go. Time for our Hobby is the People announcer of the week.
This is David Keppel. Remember, the hobby is the people.
If you'd like to be the Hobby is the People announcer of the week, do a WAV or MP3 file and send it to sportscardnationpc@gmail.com.
For nearly 50 years, Sports Collectors Digest has been the voice of the hobby, bringing you comprehensive coverage of the sports collectible industry. From industry news, auction results, market analysis, and in-depth stories about collectors and their collections, Sports Collectors Digest has everything you need to know about the hobby. SCD is also your leading source for listings of sports collectible dealers, card shops, card shows, and the latest from the industry's top companies. To check out all the latest news or to subscribe to the hobby's oldest magazine, visit sportscollectorsdigest.com or call 1-800-829-5561.
All right, real happy to have the next guest on the Sports Card Shop guest line. I was recently on his podcast and doing the home and away series, if you will. So this is time to turn the tables. He's the host of the Sports Card Lessons podcast, the man himself, Ken Carnes. Welcome.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and you know, it was a pleasure coming on your show as well. And like I said, when I was on your podcast, one of the things I love about you that you do is like the name of your show entails, right? Sports Card Lesson. You use your platform, you use your voice to teach, to educate, and to learn yourself, right? You're on your show, and you know, I appreciate you say, hey, I learned the hard way here, or I learned a lesson here that I'll know not to do next time. And I think that's one of the tougher things to do in content is, you know, we all like to talk about our W's, right? Oh, we bought this card for $200 and sold it for $800. But, you know, no one likes talk about when that doesn't exactly happen like that all the time. Yet, you do. I try to do that. I swing and miss sometimes, right, on buying a player or guessing on how he's going to turn out or whatever the case may be. And you're like that too. There's some folks that aren't as much. And so when someone does that, I tend to appreciate it and I find it refreshed. So kudos to you for being that way, I guess. And I'm sure it comes naturally to, you know, speak to that with, is it easy to do, you know, or did you have to sort of make yourself kind of do that? I know you're a teacher like myself. Maybe it comes from a little bit of that.
Yeah. You know, no matter what we do in life, right, we can't win 100% of the time. And nobody does. I don't care who you are. And I've always been that person that even when people tell me, don't do it this way, learn from my mistakes, I generally go do it that way anyways, because I want to feel all the mistakes, right? And not only do I want to feel the mistakes, I want to figure out what's the best way to recover from those. So, you know, I do talk about some of the L's on the show, but I talk about how I recovered from them and I may make the same mistake 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and I may try to recover that many times from it. But when I find some way that the recovery is not so bad, I like to put that out there, right? Put that out, you know, so somebody who made the same mistake that I did, and they said, well, hey, Sports Card Lessons, he was talking about, he did this, you know, he bought this card for $500, and then it was only $200, but, you know, he was able to get that, but then he turned around and he took the L there, but he bought another card that a few months later, it was worth more, right? So trying to, you know, reverse the effect of the L.
Yeah, and listen to your show, you've shared that and said, hey, you know, I learned from it, and there's a lesson in there that to help someone else maybe avoid that potential pratfall and that sort of thing. I try to do that as well. I've been doing this a long time, 30 something years, almost 40. There's a lot of L's in 40 years. I don't care how good or not good you are, right? And even podcasting, you know, like I said, on your show, you know, doing this 5 years, you listen to those early episodes and they're night and day to today. You started recently in March of 22, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, the podcasting world moved. That doesn't seem like a long time ago, but I mean, it's almost a year. You know, what things happen fast. So talk about kind of from when you started the show to now, stuff you've sort of learned, put in place, and that sort of thing in your content journey.
You know, when I first started the podcast, as a teacher, I wanted to come out and teach all these lessons, right? And I wanted to teach lessons in a hobby that I hadn't spent enough time in recently. And as I started the podcast, I realized that I'm learning more. You know, even though I'm the teacher, I'm out in the hobby and I'm learning so much mm-hmm. more. And then I felt as I went on through season one, I said, let me start taking all these things I've learned, right? And then put them into try to create teachable moments, right? It was a little difficult. I mean, and no matter what we do, we have the best intentions to do anything. Things, wherever they started, they never end up there, right? So, you know, my early episodes, my first 20, 30 episodes in season one, they were an hour long. You know, I was tired. Like I was worn out after sitting there talking for a whole hour, right, to a screen and a camera. And I would go back and listen and I'd say, I don't think I needed to go into these, all this detail. Like really breaking things down so much. And there were certain parts of the, I tried to bring in different segments, you know, talk about maybe some comp prices on some football cards or, you know, talk about other things. And I realized, well, people could do that on their own. They really don't need to hear that from me. So I really, over the course of the first season, I really kind of started to find my identity, who I was going to be. And by the end of season one, you know, I had it down to 30 minutes, right? I tried to keep it in around 30 minutes, you know, get straight to the point. And most of my content at that point was just coming from the shows. I would go to a show or set up at a show and just things I observed. And, you know, sometimes things may seem so obvious and getting the people that all the feedback I was getting, the comments I was getting, like I would just say something just so I would say it small and just say, well, you know, I'll give you a for instance. I can't go out and buy a card on eBay and put it on my table at the show because the next guy that's going to come up, he's going to see that exact sale on eBay as he looks up the comps. And now he's going to want it for 10% or 20% under that price, right? So instantly I'm going to lose money. And to me, that was just like a no-brainer. But you don't know how many people commented and said, that, you know, as simple as that sounded, like it made sense to people, right? And then I thought to myself, maybe this is the area. Maybe this is what I should be focusing on. Not thinking like maybe this is so simple, but there's all these things that I can just talk about. And I'm sure it's going to, you know, resonate with somebody out there and it's going to be good information for them.
Yeah. And you got to remember, you know, you have a wide variety of listeners, right? You have people who are very experienced. You have some maybe intermediate level folks. And then, you know, maybe people coming back or just getting back that need maybe a little more, you know, education. Type of information and that's and so it's tough to win the whole room, but I think if you can win a good percentage of the room, if you're yourself and genuine, I think it starts there too. So yeah, I mean, even if you're talking about something where someone listening is saying in their own head like, hey, I know this already. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming from a good place and you're genuine, I think they'll still appreciate it, even though they might not get any nutritional value from it. The fact that you are helping those that don't know that, right? I think most will appreciate that and stay with it, right? It's sometimes when you're not, you know, yourself or genuine, or that's sort of what people perceive, that's where that might not be the case. So,
hey, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more with Ken Carnes.
Okay. Everybody, have you heard about Collectible? It's the one-stop shop where any collector can buy and trade affordable shares on some of the world's most rare and valuable sports cards and memorabilia, starting from just $5 for a Mickey Mantle 1952, PSA 10s, Will Chamberlain's iconic rookie uniform, to 101 Patrick Mahomes RPAs, rare LeBron James logo mans, and everything in between. Collectible creates never-seen-before access and opportunities for all. Let's enjoy the hobby we love together. Please note this is not a recommendation or solicitation to buy any security. All investment decisions should be undertaken after doing your own research.
Thanks for chilling with us. We're back with Ken Carnes Sports Card Lessons.
You know, there's all different levels to the hobby, high end, low end, and all that stuff. I'm learning, you know, 30 plus years, I learned something every day. This is evolving, you know. This hobby, you know, I had a store in the 90s, and having a store now is no comparison. You know, someone asked me any tips. I can give tips. You know, my buddy just opened a store and he asked me, knowing I had a store, I said, listen, I can give you basic stuff. But when I had the store, it was a different hobby than we're in today. So what worked for me then probably wouldn't translate, you know, whatever it is now, almost 30 years later. So to say that, you know, I can share as much as I can and I'll help you, but I may not come from actually store experience. It may just come from being in the hobby this long and kind of knowing where we're at. So I learn every day. I know from listening to you, you're of the similar ilk and mindset to learn every day and also teach every day as you know, we have that teaching gene, if you will. You've been doing it a lot longer. You're retired, but you did it a lot longer than I have. I'm only 2 years into it. But we talked about, you know, I know you were in the hobby, you kind of came back and you really like hit the ground running. I mean, you started doing shows pretty quickly. You know, you talk about it on your own content, like having to sort of change over some of your inventory to be more ready for a show and to thrive and do well. Talk about sort of that process and how easy or difficult it was to acquire the inventory, you know, to diversify in a sense to do well.
Yeah. So, you know, when I first started out, I shouldn't say when I jumped back in and I was going to do it, I really had no idea what I was doing. And I can say that 100%. But the teacher / student part of me went out and researched the heck out of it, like what I should be doing. And I do have to say, I just had, Rob, sports card therapist, on my show. And he said to me, I couldn't have done this without you, meaning me. He said, I'm not giving you credit for all the things that I've accomplished, but I'm just saying I wouldn't be here without you being my friend in the hobby, right? Having that someone in the hobby. And it didn't really set in when I was talking to him, but afterwards I thought about it, right? And I think that was the most important thing, that I just had somebody to bounce ideas off of all the time. So as I would learn something, he was already in the hobby, so he knew a little more. So I would ask him and I would get great answers and feedback from him, and I would ask other people. So I relied on all the people around me, and I started in my cases. I started mostly with football. At the very beginning, I started with football, and then I walked around the shows, and that business mind of mine, I'd look in everybody's cases, and I'd say, okay, you know, what don't I see? You know, I don't see tennis in anybody's case, and I don't see, you know, wrestling in anybody's case, and I don't see, you know, women's soccer or anything, whatever I wasn't seeing. And I say, well, let me be that guy. Let me put those things in my case. So kind of have a little bit of a buffet. So when people come around that they would, and I learned a lot of lessons. I learned a lot of lessons why there wasn't a lot of tennis in the room and why there wasn't a lot of, you know, because people just weren't buying it. Right. And, you know, I came from a hockey background and I knew so much about hockey and I really wanted to be that kind of the hockey guy, but nobody really had hockey at that time in their cases either. Everything was basketball, football, baseball. Those were the big sports, and soccer was gaining traction. So I was kind of copying mostly just kind of what I saw and picking people's brains and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what to put in my case. And at the end of the day, I realized, and at the end of my season one, and I started season two, I said, if I am going to be in this hobby, I am going to purchase things. And you hear people say this all the time. If I purchased this card and it went to zero, would I love having it? So at the end of the day, I said, you know what? what I'm purchasing, what I'm going to get, what I'm going to put in my case is what I love. It's just what I, the cars that I like, whether it's, you know, boxing, whether it's football, whether it's women's soccer, you know, whatever it's going to be cards I absolutely love. And some of the other stuff I love was the Pop Century. I love that from the beginning, the pop culture stuff, mm-hmm. the Pop Century cards, the music cards, which I'm starting to accumulate now and populate my cases with now. And it's just stuff that I love. And when I go to the shows, I always look forward to going to a show. I look even more forward to setting up at a show. But now when I'm putting some of these music cards and these and like my Mike Tyson cards and stuff like that in the cave, and people are stopping and we're having these great conversations, whether the cards are selling or not, the conversation to me was so much better. And a lot of times just out of that conversation and just out of these interactions, I find so much content that I can come back and just use on the podcast.
Yeah, it's funny hearing you say that. You're dead on. I agree with you. We're waving the same pennant, right? You know, I get a lot of times, you know, dealers, you know how you're being a dealer now yourself, you know, end of the show, hey, how'd you do? And obviously you hope you do well financially, right? That's, you know, that's why we set up, you know, I don't think we have to apologize for that. And, you know, it's great when you say, yeah, I had a great show, man, did well. Some of my best shows though, you know, aren't always dollar signs alone, right? It's exactly what you just said, Ken. It's conversation. Friendship that you make. It's a sale you might not have made that day, but the conversation lays the groundwork for a transaction another month or another week down the road, or even a trade. Again, yep. we sometimes put too much of an influence on the dollar sign itself when it can just be a card for card or cards for card, whatever the trade works out to be, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've had those conversations with, hey, it was okay, but, you know, some of the other stuff, the people I met, the conversations I had really made this day great, right? And, you know, sometimes you can't put a price value on that, right?
Time to hear from one of our great sponsors, but Sports Card Nation will be right back after that.
Are you a new sports card collector or someone returning to the hobby? Maybe you're just looking for a friendly, trustworthy hobby community to hang out with and enjoy collecting. Midwest Box Prints has been bringing collectors together for many years with affordable breaks, helpful threads, and a Discord group packed with generous people who genuinely care about the hobby and other collectors. Check out the breaks at MidwestBoxBreaks.com. Our goal is to bring you as much value as possible. Also, find us on Twitter at MidwestBoxBreaks.
Hey folks, John here. Just wanted to remind you, use the discount code MBB10 for 10% off your first order at MidwestBoxBreaks.com.
Let's go!
You are listening to the Sports Card Nation podcast.
One of the things I was going to say is, you know, what I find now is I'm putting these cards in my case that I love, and it's attracting like-minded people, right? Yeah. So people, you're at a show, you know, you're at a show and a guy's walking by with a case and he looks in and he may see your Jackie Robinson card, right? And he may say, oh, look at what I have. It's not for sale. I'm not selling it, but look what I have, right? And now you realize you have something in common. And that's what I find. Like, people are stopping and showing me cards. They may be for sale, but they're just showing me cards that are similar to what I have, because they walking up to my table can look at my case and say, hey, we have similar interests, right? And now that conversation starts and those friendships are born.
Yeah. And again, where they lead, who you don't know in the moment, right? And then and then years later, I have friendships in the hobby that started, you know, 10 years ago from, I didn't know the person at all. They came up to the table, asked a few questions, and all these years later is now, you know, they're calling me at home or on my cell phone and hey, you got this. I'd rather get it from you. Hold it, you know, there's sometimes I'll have a sale before I even get to the show. They know I'm going to be there. They know I have this card. They're like, I'll get it from you Saturday. See you Saturday. See you Sunday. Whatever the case may be. Or even, you know, again, going beyond the dollar sign, right? Even sometimes, hey, John, you know, they know I don't have this particular card, but they want to pick my brain. What do you think I should do? Where's the best place to look for or buy it from? You know, is now a good time? Should I wait? You think it's better off I wait or try to pull the trigger now, right? And again, a lot of that speculation, they're just asking me for, you know, an experienced opinion, if you will. I always say there are no experts in this hobby. There's just different levels of experience because, like you said, we're wrong a lot of the times. Not on purpose, but, you know, we give our best assessment, our best opinion, and sometimes it's not always accurate. You know, I was on this show just as the pandemic was going to hit and saying it's going to be a rough time for the hobby. I was, you know, I was looking fastball and got a curveball and you know, corkscrewed myself. But a lot of people said the same thing, right? No, I don't think anyone really saw that coming. So, and that's with 30 something years of experience. So sometimes experience can be even overrated too. It's just, you know, you see, you know, we talked about on your show, a young man who's pretty new to the hobby doing very, very well for himself. So experience, it can get you places, but sometimes it's got to be more to it than that. That alone sometimes wouldn't be enough. Sometimes just, you know, there's probably a little luck involved too, truth be told, right?
Yeah.
In right place, right time, as that cliche goes. But you make a great point with, you know, the people you meet along the way that can help you, even if it's just, and that's a skill too, right? Is the ability to ask for help or what do you think, right? Some people are, you know, have a tough time doing that. Let's put it that way. Or our little trepidation there to ask somebody else, you know, I've never, you know, I have no problem asking someone, but sometimes that's not easy to do, right? It's people might feel it makes them vulnerable or appear weak, which I don't agree with. I'm just saying that might be why someone doesn't. So to do that, right, I think it's the opposite to me. It's showing that, hey, I don't know everything. I never claimed to. And there's a lot of people here that we can lift each other up and help each other out. And this time I'm going to ask you, you know, maybe there'll be a time in the future you in turn ask me, and you know, it's reciprocal. So, you know, go ahead. I know you're...
No, I was just going to say that's, you know, that's the one thing I found in this hobby was that, you know, there's, you can go out and you can help people, but just not expect anything in return. And people will come to you and say, oh, let me give you some information. Let me give you some advice. Let me help you with that. And they're not looking for anything in return.
Yeah.
You know, and you meet people and this is where, you know, you start gaining respect of people in the hobby. And this is where you can earn the respect of people in the hobby too. And I'll give you a, for instance, I was at a show this weekend of a guy I've spoke to it a couple times as a show I'd been doing. And I only spoke to a few times, but now we're friends, you know, before the show, we walk around and you know, we say hello, have a little conversation. Now we see each other all the time. He had a card in his case that I absolutely love. And he had a $200 price tag on it. And I said, will you do $140 for the card? And he said, let me see what I paid for that card. And he pulled up on his phone. He said, no. He said, I bought the card for $60. He said, if you want it, $60. Now, I know the value, the comps on this card are around $150, right? And and we determined beforehand that this wasn't a card I was going to resell. It was a card I absolutely loved and I was going to keep. It was going to go on my PC. And he just said, here, no. Like, I was offering him more than double what he actually took for the card, right? So here is something that somebody, you know, offered to me, right? And then when somebody else comes up to me that I feel like in the hot, and I'm gonna, you know, pass it forward, right? Do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think this is where there's not a lot of people, and you know, John, you've set up at tons of shows, and you may have 250 tables in there. And out of those 250 tables, I would say probably 200, 225 need to get the, you know, every penny for the card. And I'm not knocking them, right? Because I don't know what they're, you know, what they need, what is going on in their life, and how important it is to. But there's guys like you and me and other guys that don't need that, right? And we start helping each other out. Oh, I know this is your, here, come here. No, I'll take care of you. Sometimes, how many times have you just taken a card and just handed it to somebody and said, no, just take it, right? And I've done the same thing too, but this is the part of the hobby, right? That means so much, right? It's finding that, because you don't find that very many other places in your life where you go, you know, you will find this with with friends and certain people, but you don't find that a lot. And this was one of the biggest things about this hobby that attracted me about this hobby, that we can be real people and we can help each other out. And if somebody's down, we can help them out. And if I'm down, I could ask for help and you could come help me. Or if I just needed some information and stuff like that. And you start surrounding yourselves with like-minded people and just really good people, right? And that, like yeah. I said, that's the thing that really attracted me to the hobby.
Yeah, it's that the community, you know, the tagline of the show, hobbies, the people. And that stuff, too, is contagious.
Time for a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pat Hughes, Cubs announcer, coming to you from the Sports Card Shop in beautiful New Buffalo, Michigan. The Gocher family has built an incredible place here for collectors to buy, sell, and trade cards and memorabilia. Be sure to stop by and let them show you around. TheSportsCardShop.com, connecting sports, athletes, the hobby, and collectors around the world.
Sports Card Nation has returned.
It reminded me, you telling the story of the dealer just giving you that basically at cost, what he paid for, no questions asked, when you had already offered $80 more. It reminded me of a story. I had a person come up to my table. A couple years ago. And there was a card. I don't remember who it was, but it was a card. They asked they could see it. I took it out of the case. I think it was a $40 card. Very nice, polite. They asked to see it. And they're like, this is my last card I need to fill this set. This is the missing card. And I'm like, well, now you got a complete set. And, you know, he looked at me like, well, I didn't buy it yet, you know. And I'm like, no, he didn't even say nothing. He looked at me. I'm like, it's yours. Your set's done. And he was shocked. He goes, I wasn't asking for it. I'm like, I know you did. I'm doing that. And, you know, he goes, oh man, I want to give you a hug. How about a high five? I gave him a high five. Well, you know, couldn't thank me enough. He said, I'll be back. It was kind of crowded. There was another gentleman at the table at the time looking through a box. And he pulled out a $20 card and he handed me $220. And I thought, well, maybe he read it wrong, or is there another card that I'm not seeing? But, you know, and so I handed him the $20 back and he goes, no. I'm like, this is only $20. He gave me $220. He goes, I know. I saw what you just did with that gentleman, and that's something else. And I can afford to do that. And I'm like, well, I'm not, you know, I did that not to have this happen. Mm. He goes, no, I understand that. I want you to have that. You did a good deed. That's my good deed. I'm not taking it back. So please put it in your pocket. So that stuff is, and again, I didn't give that card to get an extra $20 on the next sale. If that didn't happen, I would have been great with it. And, yeah. But that stuff, the point of that is it's just, that's contagious, right? And that person, I want that, you know, I can't make anyone say, but I want to have that person say, hey, you know, that John guy over there, that guy set up over there, I can't believe he did this, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than maybe something else, like, man, that guy's ridiculous, you know, $100 over comps or whatever. And like you said, I think you make a great point. And I appreciate you even said, like, everyone might be in a different circumstance, right? So we can't fault somebody for maybe, you know, their modus operandi. But if we're in a space in our lives, right, where we can do that and it's not going to hurt us, it actually make us feel good and about what we're doing, it's great that we're in that place to be able to do it. And in some of those cases, that stuff, again, is contagious. It leads to, you know, it's like a domino effect. That domino hits the next domino. And there's not enough of that, right? The more we can do that, the better. And so I appreciate when you're like that, when the dealer you mentioned with the card you wanted is like that. Some of the things I try to do, you know, I'm a kids in the hobby guy. So when kids come up to the table, I always have some packs that are not out. I tend to, hey buddy, here's a, you know, and you know, the mom or dad will say, how much is that? I'm like, no, I don't even have those out. I gave that to him. That's yeah. my like, no, really? Like, they're shocked by it almost. And, you know, that stuff just, you know, that might be the difference when I do that for a kid. I might, you know, I think back to 7-year-old me, right? That might be the difference whether that kid stays in the hobby. I know I'm being dramatic there on some levels.
Not
but
at all.
You never know. That might be something he remembers and says, hey, man, this hobby's really cool. This guy gave me a free pack. And, you know, some of these packs are not, they're not all cheapy packs. Who knows what they pull in it, you know? I've had some kids will, you know, say thank you and go away. I never know, you know, what was actually in the pack, and that's fine. I have other kids open it there and, you know, pull something where, oh, that's, you know, $40. Let me give you a top loader, a sleeve and a top loader, so you don't bang it around, right? And you give them that and makes their day, right? And it, to the parents, it shows like, hey, this hobby, yeah, it can be expensive. It can be daunting, but there's still good people who it's not all about just dollar signs.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you never know. You know, it's the same thing I say with content creation. You never know who's listening. And you never know, like with that stuff at a show, you never know, you know, what kind of impact. And it may not be that day. It may be somewhere years down the line, right? And,
yeah.
I try to be like that. I've done enough shows now, kind of the light bulb comes on and you either get it or you kind of don't. And I like to think I do, you know. So, yeah, go ahead.
Just going to say, I mean, I know exactly the way you feel. And I have, you know, at my table, I do the same thing. I have some cards, some packs, and I have dollar cards in the boxes too. And, you know, you get a lot of times, you'll get parents that'll show up with the kids that the kids really want to be there. And maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, right? And the parents have no idea what's going on. And they'll come up and they'll say, oh, he's looking for, and if I have it in the dollar box, you know, he's taking it. I'm not taking the dollar for it, that type of thing. And I thank the parents right here. I'm giving him the card, but thank you. Thank you for bringing him out, introducing him to the hobby or her to the hobby or whoever, you know, sometimes it's, and I find now a lot of grandparents are bringing the kids to the shows, right? You know, the grandparents are there, you know, helping out, watching the kids, taking the kids out and, you know, they chose to bring them to this show today. And I don't think many people in the room are thanking them, but I do. I'm sure to thank the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, especially when they're coming with the little kids. And when you know, when they show up and they have no idea what's going on. And as soon as you're friendly to them, right, they have questions, and that's great. Because, and I say no. They're like, oh, I'm sorry for bothering you. I'm like, no, just keep asking me questions. Yeah. I'd love to answer them for you to make you feel as comfortable as you can in this room. Because this room could be overwhelming for people who know nothing. It was overwhelming for me when the very first show I went to Hofstra University, right? And it was as the pandemic was just, it was the first show after the pandemic, right? And it was so overwhelming. It was so crowded for me. So I know the feelings I was having that day. So when I set up at shows and I see people, I try to make them feel as comfortable as I can. Because you want them to come back, right? You want them to keep coming back.
Yeah, no doubt. And you opened the door, right? That they didn't know there was any doors going to be open until you opened it and sort of let them in. And then, like you said, then the questions start coming and you help out. And, you know, again, you never know, honestly, where that leads. And I always say with kids, especially kids, right, that's, you know, some people are, I've had people are debate this with me, Ken, but I'm going to die on that hill. I think kids are the future of the hobby, right? Mm-hmm. I think we need them, right, to stay in the hobby. Even if they left for a period of time, like the story goes, right? But come back. You got to like the hobby enough to come back. We need them for future generations of the hobby to thrive and be successful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if we can do, if little things like that we do can be maybe the difference between whether someone enjoys the hobby or not, or stays in it or not, then I'm willing to, you know, do my part, just as, like you said, you are. And, you know, and if they don't, well, at least we tried, right?
Yeah.
E for effort on our part.
Time for a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Iron Sports Cards is your number one source for all your PSA and other grading submissions. Their elite status improves turnaround times,
Heck, they even provide the card savers. Their chat rooms provide updates on all your submissions. They also offer wax options and single cards to cover all the bases. Check them out on Facebook at Iron Sports Cards Group or on the web at ironsportscards.com. Or even give them a call at 1-877-IRON-PSA. Rob's got you covered.
Thanks for sticking with us. Let's return to the show.
Well, we've seen, you know, one of the things I have less of a harder time now than my younger show in store days, but like separating a card that's going to be in your PC versus going to make, you know, your showcase and be part of your show inventory. How does that work for you? Like I said, for me, it was harder years ago than it is now because my PC is more defined now than it ever was prior. But for you, how does that work? Is it tough or not really?
Well, you know, it's not tough. And like I debated this as setting up and I asked a lot of people their opinions, right? So people would say, once it's your PC card, never bring it to a show, leave it home. Other people say, bring it to a show because you never know when a good trade may come or where you could trade up to that card or a better version of that card or something like that. But at the end of the day, what I've figured out is what my PC cards are. If I bring some of them, the higher end ones, and put them in a case, I can talk with other people and I learn about new cards that are out there and they'll stop mm-hmm. and say, you know, so for instance, Mike Tyson, right? He's one of my PC guys and I have some high end cards and people stop. They love these cards and they stop and they ask, but people stop too. They show up and they're pulling out, you know, some Mike Tyson's cards, you know, they're not for sale, but at least I get to experience this with them and look at their cards and we could talk about the cards and things like that. And, you know, I'm always learning and you're going to hear me. Always saying that I'm always learning and I'm always finding new cards. And I get excited when I see new cards. I really switched in my case. I have a lot of hockey in my case, but I started, you know, PCing, Alex Ovechkin, you know, over the last, you know, 6-8 months. And really, I mean, I have, you know, just some, you know, high pop cards of his, but, you know, part of my PC is getting these low pop cards. Again, they're very expensive. I'll price them higher in my case because I don't plan to move them. Two things will happen. One, they'll show me the card, you know, show me what Ovechkins they have. Two, people thank me for putting them out because I have a number of pop one cards, pop two, pop three, and maybe like just to eight, right? A set of cards that are just numbered to eight or numbered to 10 or 15. So there's only 15 of those cards and who knows if they all survive, right? So here's a card that, you know, you're not going to see online because when you do a search, nobody's selling the card. I have the card. Here it is in the case and they can come up and see it. You know, do I want to say it's like going to a museum or to, you know, where you can see something that's a little rare, but, you know, they thank me that they're able to just see the card, you know, in person. And I know when it comes to vintage, I know a lot of people that deal vintage and when they love to put those vintage cards and people come from all around just to see, they want to see the card. They know the card exists. They know what it looks like, but they want to see it in person, you know? So, you know, I make room in my case,
yeah,
my PC cards and some that are my PC cards that are, you know, pop culture and things like that. Maybe they're not so rare, but they mean a lot to me. I just keep them here in the office, you know, that I don't need to bring them out to the shows back and forth. I just keep them here in the office and they're for me. They're for me to enjoy. They're never going to be sold. I'm not going to sell the cards. And hopefully when I'm gone, somebody, you know, here will enjoy the cards as much as I did.
Yeah, I got to give you credit. You're a better guy than me there. It's funny because, you know, last year I acquired the 48 Leaf Jackie. That was my grail card. And a lot of people who follow the show or especially here on the local level or knew what that card meant to me, like that doesn't come to the show. It's behind me over my shoulder here. But like the first card show I did after, you know, announcing that I had finally gotten it, everyone's like, where is it? And I'm like, I didn't bring it to the show. But like, why not? And I'm like,
I don't trust myself like to lose it. God forbid something else. Someone, you know, somehow, you know, I'm pretty alert, but you know, things happen, right? You hear stuff get stolen at the National where there's three guys working that table and yet someone managed to walk off with a card, right? I'm usually, maybe I have a friend drop by or something, but for the most part, it's me. Sometimes my son's there, not all the time. Like my big fear would be that just disappears, right? And not just financial, but just what the card means to me, yeah. Besides, you know, what it costs. The cost was almost secondary to what it means, you know, on a personal level. I'll say, if I know the person real well, like, you can come over, I'll be easy to see, but I'm probably not gonna bring it because I don't want to sell.
You sure
it,
you want
right?
to give your address out? You sure you want to give the address?
Some people know. Well, I'm not doing it on the air, that's for sure. So it's tough. I get, and there, I'll say this, as like you, sometimes there'll be a few cards in my case. They're borderline PC cards. They're like you said, I'll price them a little high, admittedly so, where, hey, listen, if that's what someone wants to pay, I'll let it go. But there is an attachment there, you know, and I don't do that a lot because, I don't know how it is. You know, someone will say like, that seems a little high. And I'll say it is. I'm not going to lie about it, but I don't really want to sell it. And that goes either one or I've had this situation and it usually goes one or two ways, right? I understand that, or you know, they might get even a little more angry about it. Well, you're over comps, like, you know, and sometimes, you know, I don't like to argue with, and I usually don't. I'll just be like, you're right, but I just explained to you why that is, right? And, you know, 98% of everything else is under comps or right about at them. So it's just this one card, right? Mm-hmm. But you get into those situations, right? So I'm a little leery of that. I think, too, it's more like if it is a PC card, something could, go missing or whatnot. I'm probably, you know, a little more worried about it than I should be. But that's how, you know, the New York City kid in me just, you know, looking at all the angles, right? Just product of my environment. So I tend not to, but there are a couple cards, like you said, that I might have more of an attachment to, that I'll sort of price accordingly. I think most people get it when you explain that to them. You get that rare exception, right? Someone just kind of grumpy and says, that's terrible, man, that you know, and like, I told you why. It's one or two cards in all these cards here that would qualify for that. But, you know, you can't win, again, you can't win the whole room, right? If more people understand, I guess that's the best, you can ask for. You know, we've seen prices kind of come down. A lot of people don't like that. I have dealer friends that are like, man, this is ridiculous. I can't believe I had to sell that for that, John, you know? And I'm like, listen, you should be buying. You should be, you know, this is a two-sided coin. Like, I get, you know, what you just said, or don't put it out, right? You got a choice. It's your showcases. It's your inventory. You don't want to sell it, you don't have to put it out. But it's also a great opportunity to buy some stuff. I've recently bought cards that prior to this, what people deem a reset, that were out of reach. With price wise, and now they are. So I'm using it, you know, to my advantage. Some things will go back up. Some things won't. That's the fun, right? To kind of predict or guess what will or what won't. What's been your approach?
It made it affordable, right? It made some of these cards that were unaffordable for most people are becoming affordable now.
Someone's at my door. I've got to get that. Be right back.
Introducing the only auction house dedicated exclusively to the cards of the 1990s. Josh Adams and John Linden have created an auction company solely for the rare, scarce, and hard-to-find inserts and parallels of the 1990s. Whether it be basketball, baseball, football, or hockey, 90s auctions will have it. Each auction will consist of smaller lots between 100 and 120 lots so your cards won't get lost in the shuffle. Founded on the principles of fairness, honesty, and integrity, 90s Auction was created by collectors for collectors. Register and consign today at 90sauctions.com. That's 90sauctions.com.
Go!
We are back.
And I'm kind of happy because, you know, when I jumped in, I was very, you know, I didn't want to put too much money out there, right? So I was buying smaller things and selling smaller things. And I was watching the people around me making enormous purchases and then making enormous profits on that. And I was a little scared, right? I didn't know enough about the hobby to take, you know, a big chunk of money and go out and put it into cards and then hope that I was going to flip that card a week or two or a month later. And most people, you know, when I tell my story, they're like, oh, you waited too long and you missed out. But I was fine. I was fine not going through that because it probably would have gotten me into more trouble when the market did correct, right? And that's what I think happened to a lot of people. Like, they did very well, but then the market corrected and it was who got stuck with what, right? When you know, the prices came down. Yeah. So I knew enough about the hobby. I knew enough about setting up at shows and walking shows, and I've learned enough, and I got enough great information from all the people I surrounded myself with to start creating a PC of my own. And I knew what to look for. I knew, you know, numbered and game worn and low pop and all these things that I didn't know about. And if I would have jumped into trying to start a PC, I would have been one of those guys saying, you know, I put a lot of money out and the cars just aren't, you know, worth what I paid for them. So it worked for me that after the market correction that I went out and started buying all these cards. So I never had to reach in my own pocket. I made an investment in myself. I didn't put any more money into the hobby. So what I had, and I was going to the shows and everything I was doing, I was buying, selling, putting in my case, selling it, and then creating, you know, money that I could spend in my PC. And there were times I took cards out of my case that somebody came around and said, hey, I've got this great, right, this card right here above my shoulder, the Alex Ovechkin PMG to 100. You know, I have this great card. At one point it was what, $7,000-$8,000. It's half of that now. And I really like your Mahomes card right here. You know, let's work something out, you know. And now all of a sudden the hobby is really working for me, right? So I'm able to take a card out of my case that I don't have, you know, a lot of money invested in and a little bit of cash, and I end up with a great PC card. And now I'm figuring out like a whole new thing about, you know, the easiest and the best ways to level up, like what cards like people are looking for, and by talking to dealers and knowing what shows they're going to. And I know who has, you know, some of the chase cards that I want, and I know what I'm going to see him at a show, and I know what they like to take in his trade, you know. So I try to work that. I try to find these instead of going out and finding, because I just think it's more fun instead of just going out and finding the card that I want and just making the purchase. If I know somebody who owns this card and it's a low pop, and I know they'll take trade in basketball, or I'll go find these cards somewhere else, and then when I see them at the show, I'll be like, hey, I got these great cards. Are you interested? And now we start to negotiate, we make a deal. And you know, if you listen to my season one, I really talk about every card coming with a story. And if I just go and buy a card somewhere and then I just put it in my PC, it has no story. So I don't think it has a deeper meaning to me than when I go out and I make a deal, or I talk with somebody and I get this card, and then I can tell the story of this card. When I see this card, I remember the person I got it from. I remember the negotiation. I remember the story, and it just means that much more to me than just saying, oh, they want $5,000 for the card. Here's $5,000. Give me the card. I'm going to put it in my PC. I don't know. It just doesn't have that much meaning.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right. It's a lot of those stories behind the cards and the acquisition, right? I can look at a lot of my PC cards and, like you said, remember what show it was acquired at, who I bought it from, even if there was a negotiation, sort of how that went, and numbers and the conversation where they acquire, how they got it, you know, and even talking about the athlete or the player themselves, or why you want the card for your PC, right? It's so, like you said, you hit it right on the head. The stories, you know, getting the card in itself is great, but, you know, if there's that thread or something, you know, a storyline behind it, I think it does have even more meaning, like you said, and I agree with that. And I have both. You know, I think we all can say, well, you know, we have both sides of that coin, right? There are cards that there's no real great story to tell, right? But if you have more that have a story than don't, then I think you're doing all right. And you can't put a price on that. Like, that's in addition to the transaction, right? You know, you don't pay extra for that, or hopefully you don't. Right. And that's one of the great things with the hobby. You can remember what city you were in, what show, how it all went down. It might even be even a story before you even got to the table. Someone who knows, hey, Ken's looking for that card. I seen it over there at table 523. I'm going to find them, tell them, hey, Ken, the gentleman over there, booth 523, has the card. Go talk to him. Right. So now you have even a story outside of the transaction itself. Hey, this person kind of set, you know, got the ball rolling. So there's so many different layers to the hobby, what we do as a dealer and a consumer, right? Both sides of the table. And that's the fun, right? When we're packing up our vehicles to set up at a show, or we're just jumping in our vehicles to attend the show as a consumer, right? As you're going there, right? You're thinking, at least I am, my mind's thinking of, you know, what's going to happen today? Who am I going to see? Who am I going to talk to? What might I acquire? You know, who might a day I potentially could make with getting them a card they've been looking for or want. So, you know, it's all that stuff, right? It's like the anticipation. You know, I'm a former athlete, right? It's all that stuff before the game, right? The butterflies and the gym. Well, it's the hobby equivalent, I guess. As we get older and we're not playing those same sports, it's the equivalent of that, of the hobby that we enjoy. I think sometimes we don't talk about that often enough, really just the dollars and cents. And I get that's important too. We got analytic and charts and all that good stuff, but I like the stories behind the transaction too, and the people behind the cards on both sides of the table, right? And we wear both of those hats as buyers and sellers. So well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I'd love to have you back. I'm not into just having people on one time, so let's make there's some there's stuff we didn't probably get to because we're both passionate guys and enjoy talking about it, so we'll have to do it again on a future episode. But give out all your information, where people can catch you, if you want to plug even a show you're going to be at. I know we talked a lot about shows, but no rush to whatever you want to put out there for those listening to find you, see you, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, sportscard_lessons. YouTube channel is Sports Card Lessons. I have a podcast that drops on Mondays and Thursdays. Generally, Monday is a solo and Thursdays an interview. That's the way season two has been going for me right now. And I also do some episodes for the Wolfpack content with underscores between the two. There are seven of us, and we've been doing episodes every Wednesday. We're dropping an episode there. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday of the week, you can catch you can catch me talking, and on the weekends you can catch me at the shows I set up in all the Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey shows, the local shows here, and I'll be out at National this year too. Maybe we could do a National getting ready for National episode, maybe in June or something, John. Right before we head out there.
Yeah, let's do it. I know I'm a kid in a candy store. I know, in listening to you're the same way. So I think it'll be a fun episode. It'll get everyone. Not that anyone needs to be that's sort of self-motivating, but we'll just add a little fuel to everyone's fire. Let's plan on doing something definitely in June. I don't even care if we make it in addition. I'll go an extra
an extra day, we'll get it done. But I got to give you credit, man. When you do the circuit with shows. You remind me of the younger version of myself when I was doing a lot of traveling. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I see you at some of all these shows, I'm not gonna lie. I'm jealous because I'd love to still do it, but I just can't get away with it. But God bless you, and it's awesome. It's I'm jealous in a good way that you get to do that, and it's one of the funner things in the hobby, right? Going to a show on either side of the table, quite frank. So whatever hat you get to wear, and you're going a lot of places. I know you mentioned even maybe coming to Syracuse. I'd love to see you. If you do, you're welcome to hang. I'm sure you don't want to do it all day, but you got a seat next to me behind the table anytime you need it to talk, just hang out, or what have you. You're definitely welcome. So I appreciate you making some time today.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate the offer, and you will probably see me at a Syracuse show. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
All right. Well,
thanks for having me on. This has been great. It's been good talking to you. And I know when you were on mine and we finished talking, I mean, we talked for another hour after we turned the thing off, and we could probably do this weekly, right?
Yeah, we could do a marathon. If there was, we could do 24/7 hobby content. We'll run a couple commercials and take quick naps and then come right back. So, Ken, keep up the great work, man. You got awesome stuff. You're passionate. You love what you do. That comes shining through. You don't have to look for it. It's easy to see. And appreciate you coming on. And we'll do it again for sure.
Thanks, John.
You're right. Very cool having Ken on the show. I was on his show a couple weeks back. Check that out. Sports Card Lessons. And one thing we have in common, besides the teaching aspect, right, is, it's like I said on the show, right? We both go on our shows and talk about times we were wrong or learned the hard way or learned a hobby lesson, if you will. And then we both, I think, also try to help others to maybe, not have the same pratfalls potentially, we're around the same age or similar. And so a lot of common threads and similarities, and that's always fun. And we'll have Ken back on a future episode as well. Really appreciate him coming on.
Check out our website at www.sportscardnationpodcast.com for the new release schedule, our blog, all show episodes, and so much more.
That's a wrap on another edition of the Sports Card Nation podcast. Thank you to all the awesome listeners out there. Without you, there is no us. Thank you to all our great guests who drive this show, and also our wonderful sponsors who help us produce the great hobby content every week. Remember, another Hobby Quick Hits episode drops every Monday, and Sports Card Nation returns again next Friday. If you like the shows, we appreciate those positive reviews. Be well, and always remember, the hobby is the people.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.